May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. You know, all through Lent, we've been talking about encounter stories, the stories of Jesus encountering people on his journey, and how those meetings changed the lives of the people that Jesus met. And now in Easter, we have kind of the ultimate encounter story, the story of these two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Well, you all know that I am sometimes inclined to be a little bit geeky about the Bible. So it may come as no surprise that I have my own pet interpretation of this story. I always read it as Jesus breaking in on a conversation, maybe a little bit of an argument, between a husband and wife. Why do I say that? Well, because we know one of these two disciples was Cleopas. So who was the other one? Well, the wife of Cleopas is a person referred to many times in all four of the Gospels. John says she was at the foot of the cross with Mary and with Mary Magdalene. And he says her first name was also Mary, which is why she's called the wife of Cleopas a lot. There's a lot of Marys to keep straight. And this other Mary is also said to have been one of the women who went to the tomb on Easter morning. So what's more logical than Cleopas to be walking home to Emmaus with his wife, Mary? Which kind of puts an interesting spin on the story. What are this potential husband and wife talking about so intensely on the road? Easter has already happened. You'd think they'd be happy and rejoicing, but instead, when Jesus asks them what they're talking about, it says they look sad. And Cleopas tells Jesus, who he doesn't know yet is Jesus, about all the events that happened in Jerusalem. How Jesus was the one that they hoped would be the one to redeem Israel. He had been handed over and crucified. And moreover, says Cleopas, some women of our group astounded us by saying they'd seen a vision of angels who said that Jesus was alive. So remember, this is potentially Cleopas's wife, maybe one of those women who was at the tomb, and now he's saying some women in our group astounded us. Well, she's standing right there. It makes you wonder, what was that conversation they were having on the road? And did it go something like, I'm telling you, Cleopas, I saw the angels with my own eyes. And he's saying, a vision of angels, really? What did you have for breakfast? I mean, if it was your spouse or friend and they said they'd seen a vision of angels and someone risen from the dead, how would you react? Cleopas is not a bad person for being a little bit skeptical about this. And you know, I really admire the way he shares his story. He shares his confusion, his sadness, his frustration with this stranger he's just met on the road. There's a real openness and vulnerability about that. Cleopas is asking a key question, the deep question of his heart. How can crucifixion and death be good news? How can this be what God wanted? Isn't this the end of all our hopes and dreams? And Jesus explains that this sacrifice and death was not failure and defeat, but rather necessary to God making all things new. And he shares examples from the Hebrew scriptures. The story of Moses leading the people from slavery to freedom. The exile of the Israelites turning to restoration and renewal. Jesus is sharing, as Frank taught us during our Lenten Adult Forum series, about God's meta-narrative, God's overarching story and plan for humanity, and how that story continues in the events they witnessed and in their own lives. Cleopas and Mary get such a meaningful and hope-filled answer to their question that it does something to them. They feel their hearts burning within them. They get that goosebumpy sort of feeling you get when you know something important is happening. I wonder if Jesus is able to share all this with them because of what Cleopas shared with him. If sharing that vulnerability and confusion sort of creates an opening that Jesus can enter into. You know, they didn't have to invite this stranger to dinner. They could have let him pass on, but maybe because they had shared so openly with him their own story and heard his story, they really created a connection, created community. And by inviting him to dinner, they continue building that community. And as they share the meal together, and they see Jesus blessing and breaking the bread, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him in that familiar gesture. Maybe Jesus did it habitually at dinner with his disciples, when he fed the 5,000 at the Last Supper, and they recognized their friend returned from the dead and their risen Lord. We've been talking a lot this past Lent about the power of stories and how sharing our own stories helps us see how they connect to God's larger story, that meta-narrative of God's loving hopes and dreams for us. And that sharing also opens our eyes to the presence of Christ among us. The power of stories is something the church has known for a long time. I remember when I was a young seminarian, the parish where I worked had storytelling dinners. We'd get together at someone's house for a potluck supper, and one person would tell their life story. It was fascinating to find out the details you never knew about someone's life. And one of the stories I heard at one of those dinners has stuck with me forever. It's a story about a Eucharist, which of course reminds me of this story of Emmaus, the breaking of bread and all of that. This story was from an elegant and charming older woman. She was about 80 at the time. And she was one of those folks on the Altar Guild who knew exactly how things should be done for the most gracious and beautiful worship. And she also was deeply involved in our church's mission activities. If there was outreach going on, she was there. And she told us a story about growing up in the Deep South during the time of segregation. She spoke of growing up with an African-American nanny who she loved like a second mother, but who could not share the same bathroom as her or eat at the same table. And she talked about how that felt normal to her. She never questioned it. It was just the way she was taught to be. And she talked about moving to New York City as a young married person in the 1950s, and how she and her husband began worshiping at a local Episcopal church. And on one Sunday, she told us, she knelt down at the communion rail and noticed the person kneeling next to her on her right was an African-American woman, a fellow parishioner. And she told us how she saw that person sip from the chalice and how then the chalice was passed to her and how she hesitated because all of her upbringing was telling her it was not okay to sip from that chalice. And then she turned and looked at the woman next to her, and her eyes were opened, and she recognized Jesus in her neighbor. She, of course, sipped from the chalice and saw her own deeper connection to her sister in Christ and all of her brothers and sisters in Christ, including her beloved nanny. And she spoke of feeling a sense of deep regret and shame, but also of profound forgiveness and healing. I think it's safe to say she got up from that altar rail as a transformed person. I wonder if Cleopas and his wife also got up from that table as transformed people. People no longer caught in the loop of a marital argument, perhaps an argument fueled by their own sense of shame at having abandoned their beloved leader in his time of need. But instead, they rose up as people impelled to share the overwhelming love and forgiveness that they felt emanating from their risen friend. I wonder if you can tell a story like that, of a time when your eyes were opened and you saw Christ in another person. I bet you can. I bet we all can. You know, it's when we share meals and stories that community is created. Jesus shows us how it's done in this story about Emmaus. We gather around food, we break bread, we make community. We sustain one another in the stories and in the love that we share. When these two disciples welcome a stranger to share their meal, they find out he is Christ among them. Likewise, when we share with strangers, welcome them to our table and all our tables, we find Christ in them. In the Eucharist, we remember that Jesus is always with us, within us, inside of us, and inside each member of our community, of all of us gathered around this table. And you know what happens at the end of the story? It's so quick, you might miss it. Remember, those two were going home in sadness and loss to Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. But after they see Jesus, after their eyes are opened, they no longer want to return home. They get up after dinner, it's already dark outside. They turn right around and go all the way back to Jerusalem to share the good news with the other disciples. News this good has to be shared. News this good transforms lives. Let us also run and share this story. Amen.